2 weeks ago, the Springfield Public Schools were forced to abruptly pause remote learning for 26,000 students when the district's computer network was hit by a ransomware attack. School officials said no data was lost and no students' personal information was at risk. The cyber attack in Springfield was hardly an isolated incident. On the first day of school last month, a ransomware attack shut down remote learning in Hartford, Connecticut. The Center for Democracy and Technology, a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit, released a report this week on protecting students' digital privacy. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill spoke with Elizabeth Laird, a senior fellow with the organization.
The good news, though, is that most of the issues that we see are the result of human error, and you can solve that with training. And I think our survey also gets to that. We looked more at other kinds of technologies that teachers might be using themselves. But one example is around video conferencing. So you may have heard of Zoom bombing, which can actually happen on any platform. But it's when, someone who is not allowed to be in an online classroom is able to enter it, and they, can share explicit materials. They can use racist language, things that can have a negative impact on students. And so we looked at, how widespread is this technology and what kind of training do teachers have? And we found that 65% of teachers report that they're using video conferencing, but only 19% have received training. And so I think part of the story with including, some of the cyber attacks, but also just some of the security incidents we're seeing more broadly, is that there's a gap in training. But That can be solved, and there are resources out there that can support schools in developing capacity in this area.
Is this training for teachers readily available somewhere?
We at the Center for Democracy and Technology, we provide some of these resources. So when the pandemic first hit, we created a training for school districts and states on how to navigate COVID-19 and the privacy issues that are coming up. The U.S. Department of Education also provides resources, and I think, a silver lining of this is that, privacy, because it's not new, there were already a number of existing resources and organizations that are there to provide support to the field as they navigate these new issues. In addition to some of the challenges that we've talked about, we did find some bright spots because we wanted to also highlight places that are doing good work and we could potentially learn from. And so one of the findings that we uncovered is that special education teachers are leading the way when it comes to student privacy protection, and that compared to other teachers, they are receiving more training, they have a greater awareness of the issues, they're talking about it more frequently with students and parents. And so, it's possible that you already have leaders on this issue in your building, so looking to them as resources as we all try to navigate these issues together.
And what can parents do to protect their children's privacy while they're learning online?
With regard to parents, my best advice for them is to ask their school what they are doing to protect their child's data. And that can include the kind of information that they're collecting, who they're sharing it with, how long they're keeping it, and just engaging in those conversations can really help help them understand exactly how their school is protecting their child's data.
Your organization's report this week also looked at digital equity. What has been the impact of the pandemic and the shift to remote learning on the digital divide, an issue we heard a great deal about before the pandemic?
In the context of education, it was largely looking at connectivity and devices in the school building. So when you're thinking about how can we close the divide, you were trying to get schools connected. Now, with the pandemic, now the classroom has shifted from the school building to the home. And so we're talking about, closing a divide in a totally separate way in a separate place. And so our data confirmed, which will not be news to you, that we also had data that reinforced that the digital divide is real and is having an impact on students. So, for example, we found that low-income and African-American parents reported significantly less student-teacher interaction, which is really important. Schools do more than just provide, instruction. They are hubs of communities, and so making sure that, students continue to maintain those interactions, especially the most vulnerable. But we also saw that schools are stepping up and they are providing computer devices at twice the rate that they did before COVID-19. So that's the good news. And what we need to make sure is with providing devices and with collecting, you know, different kinds of data about the digital divide, that that's not coming at the expense of students' privacy rights. And so that's what we try and remind people is that, you know, with the urgency to close the digital divide, we need to also be thinking about privacy as part of that process and make sure it's not an afterthought.